All right, Ron, thank you so much. 12-4.
12-4.
24, so I can write that down so I know. I was here anyway. Okay. Last study we had was a couple of weeks ago, and we postponed the thing because there was so much going on just before Thanksgiving, so we felt like that it probably wouldn't be that many there, so we just decided to kind of hold off on it. But the last study we had was in Acts 19, and we dealt with verses 15, 16, 17 concerning these vagabond Jews that were going to try to quell a couple of spirits that didn't go along with them, and they wound up left naked and beat up.
Roughed up a little.
Yeah, and that really put a little jolt into the people of Ephesus that time, according to Paul, and to realize that it was getting to be a real thing to believe rather than live by the law.
Makes you wonder if those guys had a little notoriety in the community and their marketing might have took a little hit when they got beat.
Yeah. Well, one thing that it did, because Paul sent Timothy and one of his guys along out front, and so Paul stayed there by himself a little while. And he got into it with Demetrius, the silversmith. So there was a lot going on right there at the time, because Paul was trying to get all these things squared away before he left, because he had been there a little better than 2 years in the whole stretch. He loved those people, but some of them could really create a havoc for him. But now he had kind of got used to that, I think, by that time a little bit. So to realize that.
At least come to expect it.
Yeah, it was something that Paul knew is, God had already kind of gave him the things that he was going to have to deal with.
Suffering awaited.
Yeah, so it's just a matter of getting to it and doing it, and then looking for the consequences, and then looking for a way to get out of there and go somewhere else. Okay, so we're getting down to Acts 19. We'll start with 18, because we maybe talked about it for a minute, but we didn't talk about it very much. And he said, as many as believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. So after the deal with the evil spirits, that kind of set them back a little bit. They kind of put them back into alignment again with what Paul was trying to get done. And so talking about they showed their deeds or their practices. And in the Greek, the word practices is praxis. And they were trying to do things, but evidently the things that they were trying to do, because if you didn't know an evil spirit's name, you was not going to get anywhere with him. That was just the way it was, because in order for them to understand anything, it had to be to them to get that done. So it says, but Paul goes on speaking in here about the practices or the deeds that they were doing which weren't of the law, so to speak, of the things that they had decided among themselves that this was a good thing and they could do it and it wouldn't be a problem, but it certainly did. And I'll read 19. He says, many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it being 50,000 pieces of silver. Now, evidently, the silver ore over there was more plentiful than the gold ore, but they used silver for quite a bit of their coins and so on too, because it was probably a little easier to come by, and there was more of it. Evidently, these people weren't with what they were doing. They didn't seem to lack for what we would call money, I guess, wise. But there's a lot that goes on with this verse in 19, because it gives you a pretty good understanding of what was happening there. And it said, many of them also which used, and that used equals practices, or the Greek word praios, or curious arts. And that curious arts in the Greek is periergos. The word's periergos. The word means going beyond that which is legitimate. Perios.
Sort of like necromancy.
Yeah. And in the kindred verb with that is only in 2 Thessalonians 3:10 and 11. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 and 11. And you know, we did 1 and 2 Thessalonians not too long ago, but let me turn back there for just a minute. I think I marked it in my Bible. Let's see. I'm going the wrong way. Got to go the other way. Second Thessalonians. Here we go. 2 Thessalonians, what did I say? 2 Thessalonians 3:10 and 11. And it says, well, let's just go to 9. It says, for what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? Verse 10, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now to God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you. Let's see, where are we? 9 and 10. For your sakes are on account of you. Wait a minute. I'm in 1 Thessalonians. That's
not
right.
Huh? Yeah, I was going to say, I think we need a second there.
Yeah. I didn't quite get...
Chico had it posted up. I knew it wouldn't match it up too good.
2 Thessalonians. Okay. Talking about the arts there, or where they talk about arts. And it says, and in verse 8, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie. A working of error here that's mentioned there. And it, all this goes along with the curious arts and the things that man come up with that was of God. And so this is what the notes here, that's the addition to the Companion Bible, the notes gives you some of that there. The curious arts is the periagos, and the kindred verb only in 2 Thessalonians 3:11 is arts or things. And what man can dream up are the things that sometimes God looks down on, for sure. So they brought their books together, and having collected them and burnt them before all men, and men there, I believe in 19, has been added, and that is a full stop there. And I've never really seen that in the notes there, where even in the notes that have been added by men for the men. And it said, and they counted and the Greek there where they counted, so they evidently collected these things and made a list of them. And the counting there is, in the Greek, is sumphizo. And they counted the price of them. And these were either books of magic, or strips of parchment, or papyrus that was used to write on, and also to draw charms on them that was written on them. And the great magical papyrus referred to contained about 3,000 lines, and found the price of them to be 50,000 pieces of silver. And so they brought them together and burned them. And I made a note in my notes there, oh, what a bonfire that must have been.
Pretty good fire, yeah.
To burn all this stuff together. Well, over there it talks about God bringing fire down to burn those things in 2 Thessalonians. So I sometimes begin to wonder about, was it man's fire or was it God's fire? So I'll leave that for you guys that like to look stuff up to see if you can find if it be that way or the other way. But either way, it was something that Paul wanted to get rid of. And so whether they had the ability to do that or whether God had the, they may have not have had the ability to burn all that stuff, but God certainly had the ability to do it.
It says that the ones that brought the books were believers. So in my opinion, they were ones that had already come to the knowledge of Christ and believed. And I believe they were convicted by the Spirit.
Okay.
To get rid of this junk.
Yeah.
Kind of like you were with the cigarettes.
Yeah.
Although it wouldn't, you know, nobody says you can't be a Christian with smoke. You, it was just one of those things that you felt like you personally needed
if you have a value to put forth God as your master, your who you look to for help and health. And if you're sitting there with a cigarette, if I was sitting there with a cigarette between my fingers, I didn't feel like I was getting in the right amount of worth that he was.
And I think they felt the same thing about these curious hearts.
Yeah.
Because I believe the Spirit was convicting them, like, you don't want to be trying to reach out to a demon if you belong to me. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
And they brought all that of their own accord.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's a good thing. I mean, that's a good thought. And verse 20 says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So, you see, immediately there was a great change within the thought of these people there, because of those that believed, they had a lot of money tied up, or a lot of stuff, a lot of their earnings tied up in this business. And people saw that. And so, you know, they say, well, if he's got the faith to get involved with this, then he must really be something to it, because a man don't work half his life and get something and then decide, well, somebody says something, we're just going to destroy it. You know, that's
a good point.
That's something to think about. So it says, so mightily. And the use of the word mighty there in the Greek is the word kata in its essence. And it means strength. And it's the word katatos, grew. And so whenever you have something that's mightily and is growing, then there's something there that really needs to be looked at. And the Greek of that is oxeno. The word of God, the Lord, is said, was given and it prevailed. The word there for prevail is episeresis. And so here we are at verse 20. And I've got a note here that says from here to verse 41. All of it runs together. But it starts in verse 21. But it started that all we've been, or not, I don't guess we did all, well, I guess we have done that. The things that we talk about here started in Acts 13:4. chapter 13, verse 4, and it runs to chapter 19, verse 20. So that was the last verse. From 13. If you want to read the story as it progresses, it goes from 13:4 to 19:20.
Before it kind of starts anew.
Yeah. Okay. Now here we're fixing to jump into something kind of different. Now they've had a book burning. They've had tried to exercise the spirits that they don't know the name of, and all these things, and this went about, and you know, during all this time, Paul has been stoned to death and brought back to life, and he's been on two or three what they call missionary journeys and into Asia and all these things, and so we're gonna look at verse 21. We're gonna start it. It's something new now, okay? And so we first thing, if you look in the companion side of it and see the structure of things, it says disturbance at Ephesus. Well, seems like there's been a disturbance ever since Paul has been at Ephesus.
Especially you'll notice in Acts, whenever you have things going really well, you got to look out.
Yeah.
The other foot is about to fall.
Absolutely. Satan.
The other shoe's about to drop.
Well, just like it said in 2 Thessalonians, God can send these delusions that you might believe a lie, or that you might believe the liar of creation in this old world. 21 says, and after these things, okay, we're ended. So, after these things, Paul says, after these things are ended, okay, here's what we got left. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're getting into next. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Okay. So, you know, Paul always wanted to go and clear himself from these things that people were saying about him that they thought weren't true. But certainly Paul knew where it came from, because look what it cost him. All the way from after his being struck down on the Damascus Road and all, going off and coming back and being in Damascus for another period of time, and then deciding he is needed to go to Jerusalem. And so it got so bad even that they had to let him down over the wall in a basket for him to get away. So it's just on and on and on and on. It just went on and on. So after these things were ended, as soon as these things were accomplished, and the word accomplished there means pleru, or to be carried out by plan. God had a plan, and his plan was that it would be pleru, it would be accomplished. That's what God did with his son all the way through the Old Testament. There was something that God needed changed, and Jehovah changed it. Or sometimes they called him Lord. It was riding on a white horse or whatever showed up. And it could have been anything that God wanted to move around to make people see what was going on. Okay. Carried out the plan. The preference is not to the affairs at Ephesus only, but to the things recorded in Acts 13:4 through chapter 19, verse 20. Here, or at this point, ends Paul's proclamation of the kingdom, and a further development of God's purpose begins. So here's where you get to the fork in the road. And it's literally placed or laid out. And the Greek word for that is tithemai. Tithemai. In the Spirit. His Spirit. The meaning is that he, Paul, was firmly resolved, and that Greek is adomai, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome, or see Rome also. They say it one way, sometimes we say it a little other way. So, when you're using something that you're not familiar with, it's nice to have someone that's been through it and keeps you kind of looking at it in the way that you ought to do it. So, here's an idea. And this goes from verse 21 through 41. So, we're going to be into it for a couple of studies. And verse 22. So, I'll read you verse 22. It says, so he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him. This is Paul now. So Paul sent unto Macedonia two of them that ministered unto Paul. Their names were Timotheus, or Timothy, and Estrus. That he himself stayed in Asia for a season. Now, we've seen this word season crop up. And, you know, season generally gives you the idea of a period of time that something starts until it is harvested or it ends, okay?
Comes to an end.
But this makes that word grow a little bit. It makes it seem like it's, you know... 22. So let's look and see in verse 22 what it says here in the notes. So he, Paul, sent, and that word in the Greek is apostello, or meaning I guess Paul calls them in the Greek basically apostles also. Into Macedonia, two of them that ministered. And of course, if they were with Paul, they were in the business also of doing whatever it was that needed to be done. And the Greek for that is diakoneo. Unto him, Timotheus and Estrus. And I've got my word Estrus marked out because I've got it fixed in my notes where I can go back and add it to my list. And Estrus does show up again, but I think it shows up in that group that Paul was wanting Timothy to bring with him, the lawyer and his cloak and all these things in 2 Timothy, where he knew he didn't have very long to stay there. So that you can look that up if you want to yourself. It said, but he himself stayed and the Greek there is epicho for a season or a time. And so that gives us a little view of when God uses the word season, it means it is done for a particular period of time. It's kind of like planting and harvesting. That's kind of the way we look at our seasons here. There's a time to plant in Proverbs, and, you know, it's time to reap. So you got to do it when everything, when the time is right for it. So that's what we're looking at here in verse 22. Now, 23. So 23 says, and the same time there, so while he was staying in Asia, and this is the season now, the same time there arose no small stir about that way. Well, what was that way?
Oh, these Christians.
Huh?
These troublesome Christians, they call them.
Yeah, if we go back to verse 9, 19 and 9, we can remember that way. So Paul went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for about the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, we've already made the comment that we're getting beyond that now. It says, but when divers were hardened and believed not, but spoke evil of that way, before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. So that was the way. That was what he's talking about here when we get in to verse 23. So at the same time, and or the season there, arose no small stir, or that stir equals a disturbance. And in the Greek, that word is terachos. And it is about concerning, or the Greek word peri, P-E-R-I, or a group of non-believers that were there when Paul came there and he departed himself from them. And the apostles that were with him, or the disciples that were with him, and I think he felt like there was just too much turmoil going on at that point. He had to move on a little bit. Not that he left the country, but he left those people and went to deal with this Tyrannus that he come to know, and evidently felt that he was worth something to him for that. Now, verse 24. And it said, for a certain man. Well, a certain man is used a lot in Scripture, and especially in the New Testament. a certain man named Demetrius. Well, this is a little different because a lot of these certain men are never mentioned by name, but this one is mentioned by name because Paul in other places says he did me much harm. So let's not forget that Paul in his own words thought like, well, this is a formidable foe of mine. And he's a union man, so to speak, or what we would consider to be a union man, because he was really making money from this, making these shrines and all this stuff. He evidently was good at it. And I have read notes where it said, you know, he was a silversmith. He could form anything that he needed to form out of that. But now there was other things that they used too to make these shrines also, that others made shrines. They all weren't silver, but a lot of them were. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. Now, and Demetrius, was a silversmith, and there's a great name for that too. Argyrocopus.
A silver beater.
Literally a silver beater. Or somebody that can fashion, take silver.
A metalsmith
and fashion it and show you a picture of what he wants you to see, okay? That's what a really good workman can do. Whatever he does, a lot of times there'll be a smith added on to the end of it, but you know, if you're good at blacksmithing or if you're whatever you're good at, when people look at it, they can see and admire it. And so this is what this man could do. He was a real good artist, but he was not doing the things that was what that God wanted him. Want it done. Yeah.
Supporting false gods.
Yeah, false gods. Right. Okay. Which made silver shrines, and that Greek word there, the shrines, is naos. And I thought that was a pretty good Greek word because it sounds like it's negative in its sense, for sure. Here, a shrine meant an image of the goddess and part of the famous temple. And I used the notes there to say this, that they said whenever this was being put in English, these might be large enough to make ornaments for rooms in a house, or small enough to be carried as charms, you know, around your neck.
They probably make you any size silver
thing you're
able to buy.
Yeah. Whether it went around your neck, whether it went around your wrist, or wherever.
Sat on the paper.
Or wherever. There it was. Okay. On the reverse of a coin of Ephesus in the British Museum is a
facade
of the temple with a figure of Artemis in its center. So this was a big deal, folks. It was a big deal.
They didn't burn all the coins if they got one in the British Museum.
Yeah. And the rest of that was four of diameter, and it says, read the note. So I'm going to read the note in Acts on page 1631, where it says, Diana, the Greek, Artemis. Not the chaste huntress of popular mythology, but an oriental deity who personified mythology, but an oriental deity who personified the bountifulness of nature. An alabaster statue in the Museum of Naples represents her with a castellated crown and many breasts, with various emblematic figures indicating that she is the universal mother of all creation.
And there's the problem.
There's the naos of the whole thing, okay? And it says, layered
in Nineveh,
and its remains gives reason for identifying her with Semiramis, the queen of Babylon, for whom all the licentiousness in ancient worship proceeded. Well, you know, you can't read very far. You got to go all the way back to Egypt to get where all this thing started.
Lived on.
Yeah.
The ancient.
Absolutely. Okay. And it says, brought no small gain. The rest of the notes in there. Unto the craftsman. Or in the Greek, it's word. Techniques or technites. So,
they made a lot of money doing it.
Yeah, and they were pretty well good at what they did. I'll give them that they didn't. They probably didn't have no problem getting the money that they felt like it was worth from these people to do this, and. Probably people did that they may have kept food off of their table or something for their children or whatever to buy these things. Who knows? Who knows how, you know, that went. Okay. So we're going to go to verse 25, and we'll probably stop it at verse 25. It says, whom Demetrius called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth.
They had a little union meeting.
Union meeting. It was probably more than a little one.
Yeah, probably was.
Probably a big one. And when Demetrius called together with the workmen, the aggregates, a general term like occupation, literally what we would call a union meeting, and said, sirs, or men, anner, men, you know that by or out of this craft, gain, we have our wealth. This is our gain. This is our wealth. And literally the Greek word is euphoria. And that means ability. And I want to read the notes on verse 25 too. because it said this: the shrines were made in terracotta and marble, and as well as silversmith's guild or trade union, and perhaps the other workmen had their own guilds. And it says, Sir or Anna, out of this craft we have our gain or wealth. And that word is euphoria. And here it is in the English, ability. And so 26 and 27 continues this, or goes right along with it, but it's, with the notes and everything that goes with it, it's kind of long too, so we'll make it a little short tonight, and but we're pretty close to our time anyway, so and I put in my notes, I made it where the three went together. But it all goes together, but it's a different view of the same problem.
Yeah.
And so I'll mark a line for 25 here, because I didn't do but the two other verses, but I didn't know how many verses I was going to get through anyway. Yeah. So.
Well, in this case, the Word of God, Paul was preaching, and the fact that so many were coming to believe it, literally were threatening these guys' livelihood. Because the demand for the false images and all these trinkets goes away once somebody becomes a believer.
Yeah.
So they were getting a little...
Oh, they were
getting their feelings hurt over this thing.
Maybe a little more than you would think.
Yeah,
you know, because... I know Paul says in other places, Demetrius, he gave me a lot of...
Oh, yeah.
He gave me a lot of problems.
It come to violence.
Yeah.
More than once.
Yeah.
No doubt.
And...
they probably didn't hold back a whole lot.
Well, if a man's doing something he's making money out of, and you run up and take it away from him...
He's not going to be happy.
He ain't going to be a happy camper. Don't matter where he is, how many years ago it was, and none of that. It all comes down to the fact
that he's never going to forget it either.
Man, you're fooling with my groceries now. You're fooling with what I have come here to do.
Cutting into my livelihood.
Yeah. So think about that. You know, this is no small deal here. This is a big deal. And now Paul is getting these people ready, because... You know, when Ephesians were written, there was stuff in there that they had never, ever, ever thought about thinking about it before.
Yeah, here he is literally smacking the hornet's nest with a stick.
Yeah. And he may have to run off and write back to him and tell him about it. It may not be something that he wanted to handle, because... Somebody that's been struck blind, and then somebody that's been stoned to death, and all this, you gotta admire a man that's just took on all these things that was supposed to go, I think, to, he was finishing the work that Christ wasn't allowed to finish at that point.
Fill up the sufferings that were behind.
Yeah. And I know he thought a lot of times, boy, how much am I going to have to take?
Yeah.
And bless his heart, he took it all.
Amen.
And if God ever chose somebody that could do whatever needed to be done, boy, he got him a good one.
Yeah.
So thank you for being with our study in this. He said, well, you know, we're not talking really about a lot of training or preaching here, but we're talking about a lot of people believing and changing the way they were living.
Yep.
And isn't that what we continually hope to do in our witness for Jesus Christ?
Yeah, he's getting it done, according to the will of God, for sure.
When you can see results, when you can see actually results like that, that is something else. That's a yay and amen right there for sure. So thank you for being with us tonight, and I'll go home and throw another log on the fire and go to bed.